Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I ended session two by saying that psychiatry is medicalizing the mind, but the mind isn't material.
This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, is our worth. The dulcet tones of Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Fellow, his new resource, Life Without the Numb. Did you miss episodes one and two? Fret not. Just visit fortisplus.org. And you can watch this presentation that he did in our Fortis studios with a studio audience to help Christians navigate through mental health issues, to navigate through the confusion about SSRIs. His book is titled Lies My Therapist Told Me, but he delivered 10 lectures. And we've turned it into a full-blown production, which is available, as always, for free at fortisplus.org. It includes a study guide, which means you can use this in Sunday school if you'd like to. It will help people to sort what they're to do when they are inevitably slapped with a label. If you and I had to spend, 2 hours, with a secular psychiatrist, and they had their DSM-5 in hand to identify all of our medical, our issues, our mental health issues. Do you know how many labels you'd have? They wouldn't stop diagnosing you or me, and especially Jimmy. Why? Because that's the society that we lived in. We have let mental health experts come up with criteria that are so ridiculous so often in the DSM-5 so that they can medicalize everybody's issues, everybody who colors outside of the line just a wee little bit. We got to slap a label on it. Why? So that we can make it a medical issue, which means that we can medicate the problem, or so they proclaim. Greg Gifford is going to help us understand that emperor has no clothes. And one of the most important things that we can learn in order to navigate the choppy waters of the therapeutic complex that is just steamrolling so many families is to understand the distinction between the mind and the brain. This is episode 3, Life Without the Numb. Did I mention it's available for free at fortisplus.org?
According to the scripture, you can't reach out and touch the mind. You can reach out and touch the brain, but you wouldn't want to. I would imagine most of us don't want to touch our own brains. I don't want to see that thing. It's probably really small anyways. You could touch the brain. According to the scripture, in passages like these, the mind is not material. Look at this with me. Okay, Exodus 36, tabernacle, the construction of the tabernacle is the context. Exodus 36, verse 1, Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Okay, this is the broader context, that Bezalel, Aholiab, they are commissioned to actually craft a beautiful tabernacle. Let's continue. Verse 2. So Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. Okay, pause there for a second. Your Bible most likely says something like heart or mind. Where does the Lord put the skill? Every craftsman in whose mind or whose heart? According to this passage, God is putting talent and skill within the heart or the mind. And the heart or the mind are used interchangeably here. did God perform brain surgery? Is that what's happening here? No, the mind here is immaterial. Okay, let's keep going. Go over to Job with me. If we're not careful, we start with a cultural understanding of the mind, which is that the mind can be treated with material remedies. We start with the understanding that the mind can be medicalized. That's what the secular therapeutic would teach us. So we have medical doctors to treat the mind. Now, Job 38, let's start in verse 35, but my emphasis will really be on verse 36. Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clods stick fast together? This is the humiliation of Job. Remember the beginning of this chapter where God says, all right, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to answer you. You come, you stand like a man. And Job's response is, I should have covered my mouth all along. Who am I? But the question is, who puts wisdom in the inward parts and gives understanding to the mind? Who gives understanding to the mind? Or the heart? You could use it interchangeably here in the Old Testament. Where does God give understanding?
Jimmy, I got a question for you. He's using Bible verses. What did he call that? The old what?
The Old Testament?
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew there was so much to be learned from the left side of the book?
That immaterial mind, that immaterial heart. Interesting. Okay, let's keep going. Let's go over to Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 6. As you're turning to Daniel, let me just give you a couple of contextual things. Remember, Daniel has been faithful. That's what the first six chapters are about. Even though he was exiled from Judah in Babylon, he's been a faithful man the whole time. And you can tell he doesn't fear man. He's kind of made it past that point. He doesn't fear man. Keep your gold. I don't need it. I'll tell you what their handwriting on the wall means. In chapter 6, he's trapped. Darius is making a rule by which Daniel would be indicted. You remember this. This is the lion's den, chapter 6. Okay, let's start in verse 10. When Daniel knew the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed. Then he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any God or any man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Darius, you're trapped, buddy. We got you. Obviously, these men didn't mean Daniel's welfare, but Darius is trapped in his own law. So look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and he set his mind to deliver Daniel. His mind, the immaterial component of who he is. He had to follow through on it ultimately. He puts Daniel into the den of lions. As an old man says, Daniel, may your God protect you. Doesn't sleep a wink that night, comes back in the morning, says, Daniel, you in there, buddy? May the king live forever. I'm good. I'm okay. What did Darius set his mind to do to deliver Daniel? Set his mind. Did he set his brain or his mind? Set his mind, according to the scripture. In the Old Testament, you're going to see a term used where it's either translated as heart or mind, heart or mind. It just simply means the inner part of who you are, the gut, the loins. You couldn't reach out and touch the immaterial heart or the immaterial mind. If you're using the mind the way the Bible uses the mind, according to the Old Testament, it's immaterial. Okay? Let's go to the New Testament now.
No, wait a second. You mean there's harmony between both testaments? Yeah, of course, Of course there is. What's one more reason we don't unhitch the Old Testament? Your mind is who you are. Your heart is who you are. You are not your brain. That is clear in the Old Testament and the New.
Let's go over to Luke. This is a neat post-resurrection experience. The road to Emmaus has already occurred. On the road to Emmaus, remember, Jesus shows up and he reveals himself to two disciples. And they said, weren't our hearts even burning within us as we spoke with him? The next scene in Luke's gospel is actually going to cut back to Jerusalem, where Jesus comes and he stands among the disciples.
By the way, if I could inject, and I'm going to, their hearts were burning, not their brains.
Let's start in verse 44. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
He didn't open their brain. He opened their mind. Old Testament and New Testament makes a distinction between the brain and the mind. The secular therapeutic seeks to tinker with your brain without knowing what they're actually doing. And the Bible says, medication cannot touch your mind. What are the implications of this? Courtesy of Greg Gifford, next on Wretched.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. It's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bickney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So good and so free. This is Wretched Radio, life without the numb. Scoot. You heard me. I said scoot. Skedaddle, maybe is a nicer word. Skedaddle over to fortisplus.org and look for Life Without the Numb. It's our latest release. We're dropping a new episode every single week. It is free. It has a study guide. It's perfect for Sunday school. Watch it at home. Download our app on your thing with the dealy bob that you got on the TV screen with all those boxes that are there, Amazon Fire and Hulu and Roku and all of those things.
That's it.
And you can have the Fortis Plus app, and it's all free. And you can learn the difference between the mind and the brain. And I'm telling you, this knowledge alone, this nugget from Life Without the Numb, it will help you. This alone will help you to sort, should I be taking a pill that plays with my brain when the Bible says I actually have a mind issue?
Go over to Romans. Romans doesn't paint a super pretty picture here. When we're looking through the scripture, the mind exists in every person. Every person has a mind. In the Bible, you may have a distorted mind, a darkened mind, a callous mind, a corrupt mind. According to the Bible, an unbeliever would have a mind that is blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4, blinded from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ. Look at Romans 1 with me. Romans 1 speaks of the unbelieving mind. In light of verse 24 and following, God has given them up to their impurity. Verse 28, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased what?
Mind.
You see it, right? A debased mind. A debased brain? Did God give them up to a debased organ? Dementia sets in for everyone in verse 28. No, it's a mind. The term mind is used here. The term mind that is also used in Romans chapter 12. Turn over there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There's that term mind again. But there's something different from the corrupt mind, the calloused mind. Colossians says the sensuous mind. There's something different here. Your mind is not to be conformed to this world, but it's to be transformed. The believer's mind at the moment of salvation is radically changed. It's transformed. So everyone has a mind, but the mind that is unsaved is darkened and corrupt and calloused. It's set on earthly things. But according to the scripture, at the moment of salvation, you're given a new mind. The mind that can finally understand. What happened to the disciples in that room when Jesus shared with them all the things from the law? What happened to them? They finally got it in their mind. If you were saved as an adult, you can remember that moment. You remember that moment. You heard about Jesus 2,000 times. You were around the church in all of these ways, but then there was that moment when God saved you and it's like something clicked.
Yep.
You were enlightened, according to the scripture, illuminated. You saw for the first time. So what changed? Your mind. Your mind changed. This in Romans 12, verse 2 is immaterial. Your mind is immaterial. It's the seat of your faculty or cognition. It's where your thoughts come from. It's where your choices come from. In Romans 12, verse 2, don't let your mind become like the world's. Don't think like the world. Colossians 3, don't set your mind on earthly things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right, let me give you one more. If this were not enough, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then I'll stop making you play Bible sword drill with me. Although I like it and I think it's fun. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is important to note. Paul is talking to Christians. We could say the Corinthians were not the best of examples of Christians for sure, right? We could say that. There's immorality in the church. They're suing one another. It's a mess, all right? It's just a mess. And in chapter 2, verse 14, Paul is addressing them as Christians, as immature Christians, but Christians nevertheless. And look at what he says in verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Make sure you capture this last part. Verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. You have the brain of Christ? All of us? We get chopped into small portions? Jesus has a human body and human organs. Does Jesus have a human brain that he shared with all of us? Or what do we all have now? The immaterial thinking like Jesus. You think like Jesus, Philippians 2:5. You have the mind of Christ. You're to think like Christ thinks. He doesn't exalt himself. He takes on the form of a servant. He lowers himself. He humbles himself to even be crucified. Who has the mind of Christ? Believers do. Believers, even immature ones. Chapter 3, verse 1. I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Even young Christians have that beginning renewed mind. So what's the takeaway? You're like, all right, Gifford, get to the point. All right, I'm getting to the point. Here's the point. The secular therapeutic has actually misunderstood the very nature of the mind. It's medicalized the immaterial. Your mind, according to the scripture, is immaterial. So what does that mean practically? No medication is ever going to change your mind. No psychotropic is going to get to the root of the issue. When we talk about the mind the way the Bible talks about the mind, it doesn't need health. It needs transformation. It needs renewal. The mental health terminology isn't only a counterfeit, and it is, it's a competitor. It's a competitor. Instead of saying, Lord, I need you to transform me, I say, Lord, I'm going to my psychiatrist and they can help bring about change. I need to go to my therapist. How is it, answer me this, how is it that an unsaved therapist can help me as a believer with my mind? Christians, we have to wake up.
It's powerful.
We have to wake up.
Yeah.
We're going to the secular therapeutic to get help with the immaterial. This ought not to be. So instead of saying, hey, Gifford is just debunking and burning it all down, I'm saying, no, let's do something here. Let's do something as good Christians. Let's let the Bible define the mind. Are you open to that? Let's let the Bible define the mind. And if the Bible is defining our terms, then the mind is immaterial. So then we have to begin to say, well, how does an immaterial thing like the mind get a disease? How does an immaterial thing like the mind contract a disease? Well, if there's no medical evidence you have a disease, there's no verifiable proof that your mind actually is sick, then it makes perfect sense how the DSM could make up all of these categories for unverifiable diseases, because we're talking about something that's immaterial. If we wake up to the reality that the Bible has better answers, then hear me on this. Salvation becomes more dear to us. Repentance, the metanoia, the change of our mind is more dear to us. What if we've been accepting inferior solutions when God has better answers for our mind? And he does.
Indeed. He does. Have you heard that there's a new therapist in town? Doesn't have a shingle. There's no waiting room. you just jump online. It's your AI therapist, and it is exploding in popularity. People are they can't get enough of going to these AI therapists, which are just bots. They're not even real human beings who glean from the internet, depending on how they're programmed, to affirm you, to say nice things about you. I was just reading an article about this AI therapy business, and one of the individuals that they were talking about who utilizes it, she never judges me. She never pressures me. Well, maybe there's some things that need to be corrected. AI therapy, it is just a booming industry, and it reveals the struggles that people are having and their desperate desire for change. I say, let's get into the arena. Let's let the world know the Bible has better answers for you, starting with the distinction between the mind and the brain. What an opportunity for an evangelistic outreach, I'm telling you. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.